I'll read this as it appears in the New King James. You can follow along in that or in your Psalter as well. This is Psalm 130. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This psalm uses the words mercy and redemption and salvation. Those words would be meaningless unless they came in the context of judgment. God is holy and man is not. To maintain righteousness and to maintain holiness, God must judge sin. That puts sinful mankind, that puts all of mankind into a terrible dilemma. Psalm 130 expresses it this way in verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? If you were to remember our sins, who could stand? Who could come into your presence? For all of us have sinned. We have all turned away to one extent or another. And no one can stand in God's presence based on their own righteousness. But then comes the incredible good news in verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. In the midst of this very sobering pronouncement of sin and judgment, God provides a way of escape, a way of forgiveness. We have the privilege of knowing that that way is through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who died on the cross for our sins. And I hope that you'll see from this psalm how significant that is. In order to maintain His holiness, God must punish sin. He cannot and He does not ever wink at sin. He doesn't say, well, today it pleases me just to let it slide. God would cease to be God if He treated sin that way. No, He punishes sin, and He always has and always will. He punishes it to the fullest. But the good news is that that's why Jesus came. If you place your trust in Jesus, then God places your punishment on His Son. And it's on the basis of that, that we all can say, yet with God there is forgiveness. It's because Jesus has paid the price of that forgiveness. So with God there is forgiveness. Based on that promise, Psalm 130 leads you to cry out to God. As we've been meditating on these psalms, I've been drawing your attention to the fact that this is one of the songs of ascent. It's the songs that were gathered together for a special purpose in the life of the Jews in the Old Testament times. They sang these psalms as they went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts, like the Feast of Passover. I want you to imagine yourself going there to stand in the presence of God, to go and to be there where God has chosen to declare His name and to declare His holiness. And you know, as you go up to Jerusalem to be in the presence of God, that you have sinned. And as you go up with the people of God, you're thinking about appearing in the presence of a holy God, and you're thinking together as you sing this psalm, O Lord, who can come into your holy presence? How could we stand in front of you if you were to mark my sins? But in the midst of singing that recognition of sin, you also are led to sing, "With you, O Lord, there's forgiveness." And so out of the depths, we cry to the Lord, as verses 1 and 2 say. Out of the depths of temptation, out of the depths of real sin, out of the depths of despair that flow from our human nature that is still prone to sin, out of those depths, we cry to the Lord. That provides a light that shines in a dark place because God has promised forgiveness. In fact, even the cry for help is a cry of hope, because with God there is forgiveness. Verses 5 and 6 speak then of waiting for the Lord. I hope that you don't confuse that phrase, waiting for the Lord, as a type of waiting that you might be accustomed to these days. Waiting for the light to change. Waiting for a phone call. And typically waiting is doing nothing, and you sit and you twiddle your thumbs and you wait for what it is you're waiting for. When the Bible speaks about waiting, it has a different idea. It's a waiting that's full of hope. It's described here as the watchmen that are waiting for the morning. They're straining to see that first light. They're longing to see that. And that's our posture as well, as we wait for the promises of God to come about. In fact, that's what the psalm says. In your word do I hope. So as we wait, we have that word of God that we're reading, the promises of God that we are storing up as we wait for Him. Then verses 7 and 8 describe the hope that we have, and it couples it with mercy. Against all hope, God has shown us mercy in Christ. The psalm closes by saying, "O Israel, O people of God, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is abundant redemption." There is abundant redemption. Different translations read that in a different way. Another translation says plentiful redemption. It's really a great term that speaks about the hope that we have. That there is plentiful redemption to all who call on Christ. As you sing Psalm 130, then, sing it as those that are coming into the presence of a holy God, and you come knowing your sin, but knowing also the promise of forgiveness. So sing it with hope, waiting upon the Lord, for with Him there is forgiveness. We're going to use the A selection in your Psalter, and I'll invite you to turn there now. We'll sing of the plentiful redemption that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. I'll invite you to stand to praise Him by singing Psalm 130A.